Praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. This is Dr. Ruth. Thank you for joining me today in this session. We are in Luke chapter 11. We are moving right along here with my expository verse-by-verse teaching out of the Gospel of Luke, the ministry of Jesus Christ. If this is your first time joining me, welcome. And please, after today's session, go back and listen to the previous sessions here out of the Gospel of Luke so you can approach the Lord Jesus' ministry in context, and also listen to previous teachings on the Gospels of Matthew and Mark, and even to some of my Old Testament teaching. There is a lot you are going to learn. So today we continue here in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. It is a very lengthy chapter, so I will do a few sessions here. But what is the gist of these upcoming verses? We will learn about the Lord's Prayer, a very popular prayer, right? Okay, we are going to learn about the key elements of prayer as the Lord Jesus taught his first century disciples, and this is still very applicable to us today. So, before I even get into the verses proper, let me just lay the foundation here by talking about the key components of the Lord's Prayer, so when we get into the verses, it makes sense. So the Lord's Prayer, we have four major components of this prayer that the Lord Jesus taught his disciples and us. Number one is when we approach God in prayer, we begin with praising God for his almighty nature, because he is a creator of the heavens and the earth. He is our creator. So we get into this prayer by praising God first and foremost. Why? Because as we praise and acknowledge the mightiness of God, it helps to align our mind and our thoughts and our spirit towards God. So we want to always make sure we approach God first with praising him, just to prepare our heart. And prayer simply just means communication with God, as you would talk to a friend, okay? It's a dialogue that you have with God. The second component of this prayer is that of provision, asking God for our daily provision. And as we get into these verses, you will find out that the Lord Jesus emphasized that we should pray for daily provisions, because God's grace is anew every day. Okay, number three is asking God to enable us to forgive those who have hurt us, because God has forgiven us of all of our sins if we have received the Lord Jesus' salvation on Calvary's cross. And then the last component is really praying in accordance with God's will. Okay, so those are the four major components of the Lord's Prayer. With that background, let us get into these verses. Luke 11, verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." The John here is referring to John the Baptist. This question, we may laugh at this disciple that asked the Lord Jesus to teach them how to pray. This question was so significant, and even today it is still significant, because people don't know how to pray. But let us talk about this back then. Back during the Lord Jesus' ministry, this was the gospel era. The Holy Spirit was not indwelling these disciples or people. Back in the Old Testament culture and mentality, these disciples or people during this era could not even call God their father. They could not pray to God directly. They had to go through a priest. So this question that this disciple asked was significant, okay? Because the Lord would teach them how to pray and how to pray to God directly. But in the here and now, this question is still absolutely relevant. So how do we pray to God? We pray to God in accordance with his will, okay? Because when we pray outside of God's will, God will not hear us, God will not answer. And several scriptures teach us that. One of them is coming to mind, 1 John 5:14 through 15 is so clear that when we pray, we must pray in accordance with God's will. And what is God's will? God's will is all of his promises in the Bible. So just to quickly answer that, that is so relevant that we know how to pray. So because if we are having all ungodly thoughts and wayward thoughts and we pray to God, God is not going to answer. God only answers prayers within the confines of his will and of course with the right motives, okay? And prayer is just coming in agreement with God. It's really just praying God's will in heaven to manifest on the earth. It's about praying God's will primarily. And of course, as we do that, God will honor that. So it's so important that we know what prayer is, and it's a basic dialogue. You talk to God in prayer, you slow down, you listen to his responses because God is always speaking. Prayer is a dialogue and not a monologue. It's not something where you just go to God, you list all your problems and you list all of your petitions, and then you tag it with in the name of Jesus, amen. That is not prayer. Prayer means you come to God with a specific request in the confines of his word. An example could be you said, God, your word says by the stripes of Jesus, I am already healed. So I come to you in agreement with your word that says I am healed. I ask you now to teach me through the Holy Spirit how to renew my mind and position myself to receive that healing. God, I need help in this area. I'm struggling in this area. I need help. Help me, God. In Jesus' name, amen. That quick example is a classic example how you would be praying in accordance with God's will, which says we are healed by the stripes of Jesus. You are petitioning God to enable you to change your thinking, to come in agreement with him so you can receive a promise that is available in his will, i.e. his word. And then, of course, in Jesus' name, because we can only approach God in the name of Jesus. Is this clear? So that is a quick example of how we should pray. Okay, so we move on here. So in verse 1, I already explained how this disciple had asked the Lord Jesus to teach them how to pray. And the Lord will begin in verse 2. He said to them, this is the Lord Jesus. When you pray, the Lord Jesus is going to say how to pray. Father. So we see right away how the Lord Jesus was teaching those first century disciples how to call God their Father. Abba Father. Remember, I had mentioned during the Old Testament era, and even during the gospel era, these disciples could not call God their Father because it was considered blasphemy. Okay, but here the Lord Jesus was already telling these disciples to call God Father. So the Lord said, Father, hallowed be your name. There you go. See, hallowed be your name. So you praise God. You acknowledge his mighty name. You praise his magnificent nature. Your kingdom come. So right away in this verse, we call God Father, we praise him, and then we say, your kingdom come. That is God's will. Are you getting this? So you go to God, you call him Father, you praise him, and then you say, your kingdom come. That is praying the will of God right there. Give us each day our daily bread. Then the next aspect of this prayer is praying for your personal provisions. So there's a clear order here. You acknowledge God, you pray for his will, and then you present your personal petition. And the Lord Jesus said, give us each day, because God's grace, God's mercy, God's provision is only available each day at a time. Boy, this is so critical. If you were to go back and listen to my teachings out of the Old Testament, I discussed this clearly. The Lord Jesus taught us, or the word of God is the same thing. God is his word. His word is him. And Jesus Christ is the incarnate word of God. But we know for sure how the children of Israel in the wilderness were blessed with provisions. They were given supernatural manna for each day. Likewise, we should go to God to meet our needs for the day. And even the Lord Jesus would teach us as we move along that Each day has enough problems of its own. Focus on today. Because there are people who want to figure out how God is going to meet their need 2, 3, 4 days, 4 weeks down the line. That is a recipe for anxiety, fear, and stress. A best way to handle stress, I teach this to my patients, and I teach this to people in the ministry that I minister to, just focus on one day at a time. In fact, I teach people to break it down to one moment, 1 hour at a time. So this prayer is teaching us to be dependent on God on a daily basis. And I say for a moment by moment grace, a moment by moment mercy of God. So go to God for the moment, for the hour, for the day. That is how the Lord Jesus wants us to do that. And then we move on here. We are now in verse 4. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. So the Lord Jesus is saying we come to God to just acknowledge that we have a sinful nature and acknowledge God's forgiveness of our sins and just to ask God to give us the grace and the strength to forgive others. You see, as 21st century believers, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, all of your sins, past, present, and future, have been forgiven on Calvary's cross. So when we go to God, we acknowledge that He has forgiven us, and then we ask God to help us to forgive others. We live in a fallen world, and sooner or later, each of us will make a mistake. We would miss the mark. Mm-hmm. We would sin, knowingly or unknowingly. So we better go to God and ask for Him to forgive us. And then we better be, well, ready to forgive others, because that is God's will, that even as we have received the forgiveness of our sins and ongoing forgiveness and cleansing of all of our mistakes by the perfect blood of Jesus Christ, we can likewise turn around and forgive others who hurt us, okay? So the end of that verse there that teaches and lead us not into temptation has caused many people to question or has led to some confusion for some people. But if you were to understand the teaching of Jesus Christ in context and the nature of God, this is so clear. Now, we know several scriptures teach us, especially James 1, 13, again, the book of James, chapter 1, verse 13, that God cannot lead us into temptations. There is no way God will lead us into temptation, and we know that the Holy Spirit is indwelling us, and one of His job or the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to sanctify us, mold and shape us into the image of Christ Jesus, and to enable us to live in holiness. So there is no temptation, there is no evil, there is no sin in God. So God cannot lead us into temptation. Now, what this is teaching in context here, as I mentioned, in context of the teaching of Jesus Christ and the entire scripture and the nature of God, what this is teaching is the absolute truth that we as fallen human beings, even though we are in Christ, we have a tendency to allow ourselves to be tempted by the evil one, Satan, and to allow ourselves to be tempted by circumstances around and about us. So this scripture is teaching that we should pray daily to ask God to guard our souls, to guard us and enable us not to fall into the various temptations and trials that are around us. Did you get that? Okay, again, just to summarize, God will never lead us into temptation. So what this scripture is teaching is that we should pray for God to enable us to guard our hearts, guard our minds, so we don't fall into the various temptations that we come across on a daily basis. God should enable us to guard our heart, guard our minds, focus on Him. That way we don't fall into ungodly temptations. So that's really what this is teaching in context. So I hope that is clear. Okay, so we move on now to the next upcoming verses. The Lord Jesus is going to continue his teaching on prayer, except this time he will use an illustration to teach about persistency in prayer, how we should be persistent and be steadfast when praying to God the Father. Let us continue here. So we are now in verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. Verse 7. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. So already we're seeing a story here, a scenario whereby a friend is refusing to answer to the other friend who is knocking at his door and asking for bread. So let us find out how the Lord Jesus would respond here. Verse 8, I tell you, this is the Lord Jesus continuing here, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Exactly. So the Lord Jesus is saying that even though that friend does not want to get up, but because you are persistent, you are shamelessly with some bold audacity, you persistently asking, that friend will get up. And the Lord Jesus will continue that, so I said to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Exactly. So the Lord Jesus wrap up here in verse 9 by teaching us persistency in prayer. Using that example, with shameless audacity, we come to God. And if you were to study this verse in the original language, Greek, the ask that the Lord Jesus is saying there, the seek and the knocking are in the continuous, which means that you keep asking God for revelation. You keep seeking for truth, for godly truth and insight about your circumstances, about who God is, and you keep knocking, you keep praying. So this is a classic example of how we should pray. We have to be persistent in prayer. Not that God is withholding anything from us. No. The Bible teaches us that God is a good father. He withholds no good thing from us. But we have needs on a daily basis. We live in a fallen world, and there are many issues that we will encounter on a daily basis. Sometimes we pray for ourselves, we pray for others, we intercede for others. So we should be in this mode of consistently asking, seeking and knocking. We should have shameless audacity when we pray. We should come to the throne of God with boldness in the name of Jesus and continually ask for whatever we are seeking. We just keep seeking and knocking, and we continually pray because God listens. This calls for active prayer life. There are so many Christians who just go to God, they pray once and that's it. No, whatever we believe in God for, we should be praying. We should constantly be praying for revelation. We should be praying for clarity. We should be praying for direction. We should be praying for wisdom. There is so much we can pray about. Just now, I've just listed about 5 things that we always pray, because the truths in God's word are just bottomless. We will never reach a place where we say we got it. No, we just keep moving forward as we continuously ask, seek, and knock. Okay? So be persistent in your prayer and go with boldness. And just like the Lord Jesus described here, this friend who just had a shameless audacity. Just keep going. Just keep going. Don't get weary. Don't let Satan to deceive you that, oh, that's enough. You've prayed enough. God hasn't answered. That is a lie. And prayer sometimes can be tiring. But you know what? That is why the Bible teaches us in the book of Romans that a time comes when we can't even pray anymore. But the Holy Spirit will pray in and through us. I believe that is out of Romans chapter 8. So you don't give up in prayer. Okay? That is a principle the Lord Jesus is teaching. So he continues here in verse 10, for everyone who asks, receive. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Exactly. We should never give up. We just keep praying. And a lot of times when we're praying to God, let's say for something such as provision or for money, we may not get that provision instantly, but the peace of God and the strength and the hope of God will fill us. That is an answered prayer. That is a way the Lord may be emboldening you or giving you the endurance to stand, okay? So you may not see your provision right away. You may not see the request right away, but you would have the strength of God, the peace of God, the joy of God, and those are answered prayers. Those are ways that God is saying that I have heard you and I am working to bring that thing to pass in your life, okay? All right, so we move on to verse 11 here. Which of you, fathers, the Lord continued now, talking about how God is good. Which of you, fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Verse 12. Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Verse 13. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Exactly. So the Lord Jesus is not saying that you are evil, you are the evil one. The Lord Jesus is making a comparison with your earthly father and your heavenly father. The Lord Jesus is saying, if your earthly father, who is a mere man, who is not perfect, can give you good things. He said that right here in verse 11. Let me just reread that. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? He is saying that if you go to your earthly father, you ask for a fish, will he give you a snake instead? Obviously, no. So even your earthly father, who is not perfect, knows to give you good things, how much more your heavenly Father, who withholds nothing from you, how much more your heavenly Father, who is good, who wants to see you receive the best he has planned for you. So that is the comparison that the Lord Jesus is making here, that we should stay persistent in prayer. We should not give up because God, our Heavenly Father, is a good, good Father. He withholds nothing from us. So as we stay persistent, as we continuously ask, seek, and knock, God is aware. God is going to meet that need because God wants us to receive the best out of Him. God wants to bless us with the best. So that is what He is saying. I just want to reread that last verse because it really ministers to me. It says, if you then, though you are evil, again, as I explained, the evil there is not saying that you are of the devil, that comparison, even though you are an earthly man or a woman with limitations, even though you are an earthly man or a woman, you are finite, you are not perfect in your nature, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father. I love it. God will withhold no good thing from us. And obviously, we know that God loves us. He has sent the Holy Spirit to indwell each of us in the name of Jesus. Okay? So I want to end this session here. I will pick it up next time in verse 14. So what are the key principles and applications we've learned from these verses, elements of how to pray to God? I talked about that already. When we approach God, we begin with praising God because He helps us be aligned in our mind, body, and spirit with God. And we pray in accordance with God's will. And we ask for our provisions on a daily basis. And we receive God's forgiveness. And likewise, we should be willing to forgive others. And also, number two key principle here is persistency in prayer. Never give up, okay? Again, the application here, whatever you want to approach God with, make sure you go to God in accordance with His will. 1 John 5, verses 14 through 15 teaches that this is a confidence that we have that when we pray in accordance to God's will, He hears us, and we know that our petitions are answered. Again, I am paraphrasing 1 John 5:14-15. The key here is, as I mentioned earlier, we have to be certain we always pray in accordance with God's will, because God will only honor His will. Okay? And know that some of the biggest hindrances of prayer are wrong motives, praying outside of God's will, praying in accordance with the flesh. God will not honor such prayers. All prayers to God has to be a communication in accordance with His will. And then we have to be persistent in prayer, because God is willing and God is withholding no good thing from us, because the Bible teaches clearly all of the promises of God through Christ Jesus are a resounding yes and amen. And there is a lot more I could talk on about prayer, but I don't have the time. I want to recommend a resource to you. It's one of my books titled, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? How to Excel in Your Identity in Christ. I have an entire chapter, which is, I believe, 50 pages that I talked about prayer. How to pray correctly, hindrances to prayer, how to receive from God through prayer. I really recommend you get this book. It's, again, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? And you can visit our safe and secure website and get this book. In fact, this book has a website on its own. It is www.areyoumovingforwardwithjesus. This book is a 350-page book. It is $25 donation to the ministry. So you can visit our safe and secure website today and get a copy. And I really highly recommend that you get this book. It will really bless you. Besides, it will teach you how to walk daily with the Lord Jesus and receive the best He has for you. Our safe and secure website is drruthtanyi.org/donate. We also receive donations on Cash App. The address there is the $DrRuthTanyi. And if you live in the continental USA, we are on Zelle. You can Zelle in a donation. It is that telephone number for Zelle is 909-501-9031. And as I mentioned, this book is $25 donation to the ministry plus shipping and handling. We are asking for a donation of $33. And we will ship this out to you today. And please know that everything you get from the ministry comes to us as a donation, so we can put the money right back into this Bible teaching podcast and pay for studio time. So thank you so much in advance for getting this book that will really bless you, teach you a lot more about prayer, and also bless us. We will also add the link on the description box. You can click the link and go straight to the website and get the book. Okay, so the next application point here I want to leave you with is that please remember that God's grace, God's mercy is sufficient for the day. Like we went over that Lord's Prayer there, the Lord Jesus said we should ask God to give us our daily bread for the day. And Lamentation, the book of Lamentation, chapter 3, verses 22 through 23 teaches this principle so clearly, that God's grace and mercy are anew every day. So focus on each day at a time. Because if you start to think beyond today, beyond next week, it's going to lead to stress and fear. So just God knows how to take you from point A to point B. But most importantly, He wants us to focus on each day, because each day has enough worries on its own, and His mercies and His grace are sufficient for each day. Do you receive this? I hope you do. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank You for Your grace and Your mercies that are enough for today, for right this moment. I lift up all of the listeners. I just thank You that You have given them a revelation how to receive from You moment by moment, day by day, and how to trust Your grace for today. We thank You for this powerful lesson teaching us how to approach You in prayer. Father, I pray for all of the listeners that You are using this teaching to enable them how to approach You correctly in prayer. We honor You. We thank You for Your loving God. We thank You, You're a faithful Father. We thank You that You're a God who is so willing to meet each of our needs. We say thank you in advance because we trust your faithfulness. We depend on your grace and your goodness. For that, thank you. For I have prayed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everybody who agrees says, Amen. Friend, please listen to the announcer who will tell you more how you can support us with your financial donations so we can produce more of these programs. And please remember to check the description box and bless us with a donation, and we will send this book to you. Or if you want to just bless us with a one-time donation to help us to produce these programs and pay for studio time, we thank you so much, because God wants you to join hands with us and enable us to produce these programs to bless you and many others. I hope you receive this, and we say thank you in Jesus' name. God loves you.
As you have been blessed, can you bless us back with a financial donation so we can produce more teachings and bless others in return? This program is solely sponsored by the financial donations from friends and listeners like you. We need your financial support in order to reach more people with Dr. Ruth's simple but profound life-changing messages. To make a one-time donation, visit our website, drruthtanyi.org. That's drruthtanyi.org. Look for the donation button and donate right there. It is a very secure, simple, and easy process. Or, for more of an impact, would you prayerfully consider becoming a Christ-centered monthly partner with us? While on our website, you will find all of the information about becoming a Christ-centered partner. As a monthly partner, your regular prayers and financial support will enable us to produce more Bible teachings in order to reach more people and transform their lives with God's Word. For those of you who prefer regular mail, you can send your donation to us. Here's the address: Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries, P.O. Box 1806, Loma Linda, California, 92354. You can also email us with your questions about becoming a partner. Here's the email address: info@drruthtanyi.org. That's info. @drruthtanyi.org. Or you can always call us at 909-383-7978. Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries is a federal government-approved 501c corporation, which means that all your donations are 100% tax-deductible as allowed by the law. We thank you in advance for your kind donation and prayers. We pray for God's love and presence to anchor your soul today in Christ Jesus. I am Chris Oram. Stay blessed, and goodbye for now.